All right, stop. Stop. Just right now. Stop. I'm going to tell you that you might want to turn this podcast off. You're probably better off turning it off right now because this is not for everyone. If you want your faith, your language, your beliefs to go unchallenged, if you want me to stay in my lane and not make comments about instances where I believe the church got things wrong, here is your exit ramp right now. Because from here on in, it will be a bumpy ride, and that will be all on the way to answering the question, did Mary exist? Welcome to the Sky Pilot Podcast that explores questions of faith, spirituality, and religion. I'm Dan Matthews, and I don't have all the answers, but I do enjoy the questions. Welcome to the podcast where every question is an invitation into a spiritual quest, and you're invited along for the journey. I can't even count the number of times I've seen it or heard it. It normally goes something like this.
Join us today as we attempt to peer through 2,000 years of historical myth, pull away traditions and legends that grew up on their own, and ultimately we go in search of the historical Jesus.
Countless articles, videos, television series have been created teasing exactly this as the end product, and it must be a popular topic because, as I said, I've seen so many offerings with this promise. Shoot, it seems like every 5 or 6 months, I'm in the grocery store line and there's a new special edition magazine promising to reveal the real historical Jesus. I mean, Time magazine has featured Jesus 21 times. I don't mean 21 articles in its history. I mean, Jesus has been on the cover of Time magazine 21 times. National Geographic is the one I'm really thinking of the most, though, here. It seems to be the one that is constantly putting out special editions, and I've lost track of all the National Geographic covers in this topical vein. And in some sense, it's fair. There are lots of ways in which we have formed Jesus into who we want him to be, rather than who he actually was. Because of the research I do for this podcast, I'm frequently online, browsing, reading, and discovering a wide range of beliefs. In this case, I'm really talking about Christian beliefs. And there are a lot of variants of shouldn't be associated with Jesus kind of stuff. You know, things that have no basis in Scripture. Like, you can buy a phone case right now with Karate Jesus on the case. Or there was an advertisement of Jesus encouraging you to buy a Samsung phone. As if. Pretty sure Jesus is an Apple guy. I mean, the word Apple appears in the Bible 10, 11 times, something like that. And let me ask you this. How many times does Samsung or Nokia appear in the Bible? None, right?
That was snarky sarcasm on the part of our host. Please don't take it literally.
All right, back on track. Another example, something like Jesus draped in the flag, the American flag, of course, and carrying an assault rifle, sometimes riding on a horse. And it's a white horse, of course. I can't even count the number of times I've seen some variant of this one on the internet. By the way, is this even a thing in other countries or other faiths? I mean, do people from, say, the Maldives love a good AI-generated picture of Muhammad where he kind of looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, except he's draped in the the flag of the Maldives as much as the people in the U.S. who like that sort of thing? Obviously, this kind of thing has nothing to do with Jesus. It's a political fantasy. It is the intersection of make-believe, religion, and politics, and is nothing more than pornography. No, seriously, I use that word very intentionally and specifically. It is something designed to titillate and excite, but is not in any way based in reality. See? Pornography. It wasn't long ago that someone asked me a question about Jesus, and the person was not a person of faith at all, so was asking a really basic question that I answered, not from a faith perspective, but with an answer that I promise any historian who was listening to me would have said, yep, that's right. When I was approaching the end of it, I said something about Jesus being an actual historical figure, and they replied immediately, well,
I guess we all have our own versions of history, huh?
I realized they assumed that if they didn't agree with my belief about who Jesus was, my conclusions about who he was in my own life, then they couldn't agree with my statement that he actually existed. the truth is there are elements of the historical Jesus that really aren't debated. Here are historical facts that most objective non-religious historians would actually agree with. First, Jesus actually lived in the era and location that we understand him to have actually lived. He was a teacher and a preacher who gained a following. He had some conflict with the religious authorities of his time. He was executed by the Roman authorities. People who followed him believed him to be a miracle worker. There are even historical references to Jesus outside of the Bible that we can find in secular historical documents, Thallus and Josephus being the authors of two of these. Now, why do I make this point? Because despite all the search for the historical Jesus, I would argue that we are much closer to knowing the historical Jesus than we are to knowing the historical Mary. So let's talk about who Mary is, as far as the church has been concerned down through the ages. Look, the points I'm about to reference are from particular segments of the Christian faith. So let me start with the four classic dogmas about Mary. Now, some will hear these and immediately say, oh yeah, those are associated with the Catholic Church. That's not the church I go to. Those have nothing to do with me. Well, hang on. These are certainly held to be true as official beliefs within the Catholic Church, but also within the Orthodox Church, and even some of the original voices of the Protestant Reformation, such as Luther, Calvin, Wycliffe, agree with portions of these as well. So here are the four Marian dogmas. Number one, the first one is focused on the divine motherhood of Mary. Now, the Council of Ephesus, 431, called Mary Theotokos, Theotokos being a Greek word that means bearer of God. And without getting lost in the weeds here, there were those at that time who felt that it would taint the divinity of Jesus to be carried in the womb by a mere human. So the thinking went, on their behalf, in order to solve this problem, the divinity of Christ's child perhaps wasn't there in the womb with Jesus as he was being carried by Mary, but joined Jesus after his birth. The council at Ephesus said, nope, that's not right. Jesus was born with both his divine nature and his human nature. That means Mary carried both natures within her, so she was given the name Theotokos, bearer of God. Now, this should be the high point for Mary. I mean, that's a pretty great title to be handed, right? But the truth is, I believe it caused so many problems down the road. It was meant to be a great honor, but it created a lot of problems. Interestingly, the moment we, the church, agreed to this first belief about Mary, it gave birth to a series of other beliefs. So the second of the doctrines about Mary is that Mary was perpetually a virgin. Wait, I hear you say, this is just the Catholics on this. This isn't really any of the Protestants. Well, actually, some of the major voices of the Reformation believed this to be true, including Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, just to name a few. I know, you may well be aware that we talk about the virgin birth of Christ. In my opinion, that may be the biggest problem we have as Christians with the birth of Jesus. When the early church told the story of the virgin birth of Jesus, it is very likely that they were more amazed that God was born of a human woman than the secondary detail that the woman was a virgin when it happened. For God to be born of a woman, again, a human, was an absolutely staggeringly amazing thing, a revolutionary idea. Yes, the Greek gods did that kind of thing, but this particular God had never done anything like this before. Unfortunately, instead of becoming a church focused on the incarnational nature of the birth story, we became obsessed with whether or not Mary had an intimate relationship with her husband beforehand. And then there was a decision that if she was a virgin before, well then, she had to remain a virgin forever after. So one of the doctrines about Mary is that she wasn't just a virgin when Jesus was conceived, but she remained one for the rest of her life. Which in its own right is a little difficult because the Bible mentions pretty clearly that Jesus had brothers, We turn to Matthew 13:55, in which it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" Now, I'm aware that there are those who would argue that she was perpetually a virgin and will say to this passage, this particular passage actually wasn't talking about his brothers, but was really referring to other family members as brothers. And after just a cursory reading, that seems unlikely to me. The passage here seems pretty clear. It is naming his immediate family members, his mother and his brothers. But if Mary was the mother of God, then she needed to remain pure and untainted by sex. So parts of the church have often argued that she remained a virgin always. But wait, there's more. The third of the beliefs about Mary is referred to as the Immaculate Conception. Wait, is this one going to be about sex too? Noticing a trend, are we? This one is frequently misunderstood, though. Since we are so obsessed with how Jesus was conceived, people often think that the Immaculate Conception is in reference to the conception of Jesus, but it isn't. It's referring to the conception of Mary herself. If Mary was to give birth to the living, breathing, walking incarnation of God, then she couldn't come into this world in the regular way, the thinking went. So she was certainly immaculately conceived, so the theory goes. This didn't mean that her mother was also a virgin, but when Mary was conceived by her mother, the act was done without any sin being involved. The importance of this was that she would have been brought into this world without the tainting of original sin, which evidently is associated with sex for absolutely every other single sexual act in the history of humanity. And the defense of this is that God and sin are totally incompatible, and sex and sin, except in this one case, are inseparable. So Mary had to be sinless in order to carry Jesus, the God-child. Notice that sinless and sexless seem to be closely associated for much of the history of the church. Now, the fourth doctrine of Mary is that of her assumption. Mary did not die and go to heaven like everybody else, but she was assumed into heaven.
Oh, like Jesus.
Well, you would think so. I mean, Jesus, after his resurrection, ascended into heaven. Mary was assumed into heaven. Kind of the same thing, right? Well, as I said, you would think so. But those who would espouse this belief draw a distinction. The primary distinction is that the ascension of Jesus was done by his own power. The assumption of Mary differed in that it took the power of God to achieve and was not achieved on her own. Now, this kind of feels to me like a distinction without a difference. Just as an aside at this moment, imagine that a young woman visits a high-rise to go to a meeting on the top floor. At the same time, she's climbing onto the elevator to ride to the top. The owner, the builder of the building, is on the other elevator going to the same floor. He owns the elevator. He built the elevator. The woman does not. But I would argue that the elevator ride is essentially the same. The same forces are at work in both rides. You're going to the same location. Look, one of my chief complaints is that we have robbed Mary of her humanity. She did not come into this world like everybody else. She did not conceive her child like everybody else. She didn't get to experience marriage pretty much like everybody else. She wasn't even allowed to leave the world like everybody else. So back to the question. Did Mary exist? Well, this question can be answered in two ways. First, was there an honest-to-goodness woman named Mary who was the mother of Jesus and married to a man named Joseph? Well, yes. Then the answer to that is yes. But in my opinion, the more important question is this. Is the Mary who we have created and put into a sealed, unbreakable crystal container, never to be touched by true life or existence, is she real? No. No, she's not.
Okay, then what should we do?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's a thought. If I could remove one word from our description of Mary, it would be the word virgin. I'm not arguing against the doctrine of the virgin birth. It isn't particularly important to me, to be honest. If Jesus came back tomorrow and said, yeah, that virgin thing was totally your creation, not God's, my faith would not change. If Jesus said, oh, it was absolutely true, fine. If Jesus said, not true, also fine. It just isn't foundational to my basic faith. What bothers me is not the doctrine as much as the use of the word and our obsession revolving around it. We have become way too focused on the virginity of this woman, way too convinced that it was the lack of sex that made the birth of Jesus special, and also that made Mary special. And that just isn't the case in either case. And it seems to have the effect of putting Mary on this bizarre and unlikely pedestal in which she bears little to no resemblance to the human woman, the real human woman we have to know that she must have been. What I'm arguing against is our propensity to never let this woman's name be spoken, never let her be thought about or talked about without referencing her virginity. Wouldn't it be much more interesting if we set Mary free to be who she actually was, an honest-to-goodness woman who lived a remarkable life? Now, we may never actually be able to rediscover the details of her historic existence. But let's allow her out of her perpetually sealed container we have put her in, and let her be the mother of Jesus, who lived a remarkable and noteworthy life without all this other stuff we have limited her by and confined her with. That's all for today. Let me know if you agree. Do you agree that we have turned Mary into something that she surely was not in real life? Or perhaps you think I'm totally wrong and off base on this one. Perhaps you think I've missed the mark and the church is better served by the Mary that we've all grown up with hearing about. Or perhaps you have a third option I haven't even mentioned. Let me know. My email address is dan@skypilot.zone. And as always, I'd love to hear from you. On your spiritual journey, may you ask questions, seek answers, and boldly go wherever the quest takes you. Thanks for joining us here today and being part of the SkyPilot Faith Quest community. This is a great place to ask questions you wouldn't feel comfortable or safe asking in other places. And remember, the sign of a strong faith, solid religion, or healthy spiritual journey is not certainty, but that you keep asking questions.